Good morning.
Good morning.
The last few weeks, as Daryl said in his scripture reading, I appreciate him doing that. The last few weeks, we've been talking about leadership, primarily elders. And being a leader, being an elder, takes a special individual. But you know what? There's very few leaders. All of us are members. And I wanted to look today at being good sheep. This applies to us whether we have elders or not. And this does apply when we do get elders, but it also applies right now. And it applies to all of us. And so I'd like to spend this morning looking at the concept of being good sheep, basically being good members of a congregation, being good Christians. One of the things that is required of being a Christian is having a heart of submission. To be good sheep under elders, you have to have that idea. As a Christian in general, you have to be able to be submissive to the Word of God. You have to be submissive to God Himself. You have to, and then also congregations that have leadership. You have to be in submission to leaders. A leader can't lead if no one is following them. Now, let's assume that the elder is a properly qualified man and the elders are leading the congregation in the proper way, in the way they should go. If the people aren't following them, What good is it? The leaders at least are doing the things right. But we as Christians have to be submissive. And I tell you, that's a tough word sometimes to choke down. To be submissive. Especially living here in the United States. You know, we see just the concept of how our nation was born. You're not going to be tyrannical over us, England. We are no longer submitting to you. And we declared our independence. And coming up next Thursday, take some time out. I think it's Thursday. Take some time out on the 4th of July as not only members of the citizens of the United States, but as Christians, giving God thanks that we live in a nation that honors freedom of religion. Because there are Christians right now throughout the world that do not have those liberties. But sometimes we as American Christians sometimes confuse that word of submission. I'm not submitting to nobody. I'm an American. I got my rights. We have the right to follow God. Amen. Case closed. And we have to be humble. You have to be humble to have a heart of submission. To be able to submit to God's word. To be able to sometimes admit, I'm wrong. And that you can be corrected and so forth. In 1 Peter 5, this was our scripture reading, Peter, who sometimes had a little problem in his younger life with submission, thought he had all the answers, he later became an elder, as we saw. Not only was he an apostle, but he was a fellow elder. And he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Not just elders, but to each other. Have that heart of submission where we consider each other and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. He says that at the end of a passage. I want to go back to the beginning of this chapter, verses 1 through 4. He said that after saying this. He says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock." He's telling the elders this. Shepherd the flock which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those who entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Elders themselves have to be submissive. Submissive to God. Be an example. And then he goes right into, you younger people, you be submissive. It's not just for the elders, but you too. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, the Hebrew writer says, "Obey those who rule over you. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Be submissive to the elders because they're leading and they will have to give an account on how they led. And you be submissive to them. They're not doing it for selfish gain, or they shouldn't. They're doing it because they care for your souls. Another thing that we can do when we have elders, but right now also, any Christian, do your part. Well, that's what we got elders for. That's what we got a preacher for. That's what we got this for. Do your part. What can you do to aid the congregation? Take ownership in it. It's your congregation. Develop your talents. What can you do in this kind of puzzle of the congregation? How can you do your part and fit in your little piece? Share in the work. Don't have that attitude. Well, that's what we've got so-and-so for. That's what we got an elder for. That's what we got a preacher for. That's his job. It may be, but it's our job. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the whole chapter talks about that we have different parts of the body. They all have unique, different functions. The thumb does something that the nose doesn't. The eyes do something that the ears don't. But they all work together in this thing called a congregation. We can pray. We all need to pray. We can pray for the congregation itself. Do you think the elders should be the only ones praying for the congregation? No. Do you think the leaders should be the only ones praying for the congregation? Pray for the congregation. Pray for the work that's going on. Pray for the people that are doing the work. Pray for the elders. Pray for me. I tell you, I need it. If you ever run out of something to pray for, which I don't think we ever would, if you ever run out of something to pray for, you know, we got a list of thank God for this, thank God for that. You know, we could never run out of things we're thankful for. But if you run out of something to pray for me, because I could use it. Romans 15, Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, and he says, "Now I beg you, brethren," this is the Apostle Paul, "in my eyes, just a pillar of strength. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." Here is a man that to me is just a rock. All I see when I look at Paul is strength. And he's asking the Christians in Rome, "Please join me in prayers for me." In 1 Thessalonians 5:25, Paul writes also, "Brethren, pray for us." Pray for him and the Christians that are serving with him, that are ministering to him, the Christians that are spreading the word. Pray for the work that is being done. Another thing you can do is attend. You think, "Well, what can I do? I can't preach. I can't lead songs," you know. Showing up and being there is more than you know. Attendance is often a matter of priorities. Ask yourself the question, "Am I here because it's a priority to be here, or am I here because I have nothing else better to do? Nothing else came up." You're not part of the body if you're not here. We're part of a body, part of a congregation. But if you're never here, are you really part of that? Are you actually part of the Elks Club if you never show up to their meetings? Are you part of this group, part of that group, if you're never there? You deprive the body of your knowledge, of your talents, of your work by not being here. And you're depriving yourself of the fellowship, of the comments made in Bible class. You don't get that. You don't get those insights. You deprive yourself of the fellowship of brothers and sisters that are struggling together to run that race. I love this quote. It kind of hits people right between the eyes. That if your absence isn't felt, your presence probably isn't either. You ask yourself, "Well, I wasn't here. You know, they probably didn't even know I was there." Make your presence felt. Work. Chip in. Be part of the group. Include yourself. Be part of the body. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, we've read this numerous times. It says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some." Obviously, some people were forsaking the assembling together. And the writer, don't do that. You've got to consider each other. How can, excuse me, we be part of this body if we're separating ourselves out of it? But we have to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We need to be together. We're not running that race individually. We're running it together. Helping each other, picking each other up when we're stumbling, getting picked up when we're stumbling, things like that. And the last thing I'd like to look at is we have to, as Christians, be open to growth and correction. Ties in loosely with that heart of submission. To be able to grow, you have to submit to the Word. In order to be corrected by others or the Word, you have to have a heart of submission. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of priority and one of submission. In Proverbs 3, verse 11, it says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction." Correction is and discipline is not always fun, but it usually is good. To be corrected from the path that you're going astray, that's good. And it says, "My son, don't despise it, because it's good for you." And I remember I didn't always like the spankings I got, and I got plenty of them. I wasn't always the sweet, cheery, lovely person I am. I got my share of spankings, and I deserved them. I look back now, and I'm glad. I'm glad I got the spankings to correct me from being a wild little animal, from being taught good manners, from screaming in public or whatever it was, or throwing food in a restaurant, or not minding. I'm glad I was corrected now. In Proverbs 10 it says, "He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray." Again, it's a matter of attitude and submission. 2 Timothy, we're winding down. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, Paul writes, we use this scripture so much, you should have it memorized by now. Paul wrote that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's what we need to be. We are men and women of God. And we need to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And sometimes it includes correction. Sometimes it includes knowledge, adding knowledge to ourselves and growing. Every one of us, I'm safe to say, are more mature this year than we were last year. We've grown. We've grown in faith. We've grown in knowledge. We've grown in heart and attitude. And if we're not, we need to. And these are things that apply to us, whether we have elders or not. Someday we will have elders. I'm confident. Because we have a heart too. We're waiting for those people to develop and to be ready to serve us. And we have to be ready to have, we have to be ready to have elders and to be good sheep. But until then, we still have to be good Christians. And so hopefully these will all tie together and encourage us as we go into this week. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sin in your life, if there's anything keeping you from fully serving God, don't let another moment go by and you correct that behavior, correct the attitude, correct the the strife between you and a brother or sister, and do what it takes to walk that path. Whatever your need is, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation.